glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
So today we have, is the Sunday, the first Sunday after the beginning of Great Lent. Last Sunday, of course, we had forgiveness vespers, and we forgave each other and all of us, then proceeded into a week where we read and heard the canon of St. Andrew of Crete. And the canon is poignant because it makes reference to all these incredible people that had, in fact, reference to people that had made mistakes, but then corrected their mistakes. And then St. Andrew, reminds us that not only did they repent, but we haven't repented for the mistakes that we make continually. We simply abide in the same kind of treadmill of the same thing over and over again. We get locked into like a bike chain, you know, goes around and around, and we just kind of keep the same mentality, the same kind of ideas and concepts just rolling through our head. We wake up, instead of turning to God, we turn to whatever's around us, get our coffee, get our tea, get our breakfast, on our way to work, on our way here, on our way there. But like I said last week, the church doesn't want you to do that this time of year. That is not what the church has in store for you this time of the year. The church meaning the body of Christ, God Himself. He wants you to repent. He wants you, and He wants me, and He wants all of us to get in shape spiritually. So, how do we do that? How is it that we do that? What is about today that is special that wasn't true about yesterday? Yesterday, we celebrated the lives of St. Theodore Tyro and the 40 martyrs of Sebaste, both all martyrs. And so, that martyrdom that they suffered is glorified in Christ Jesus because He paid the ultimate price for us. He was hung on the wood of the cross and died and was buried, and on the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures. So He died for us and for our benefit. And so this 40 days plus 7 is a time period when we can become reinvigorated with a spiritual life. We can stop making excuses for why we can't come to church and just simply come to church. It's a nice place to come, by the way. It's icons, beautiful, singing's very nice. But more than that, it's a place where you can find solace for your soul. The answers that you so keenly are wanting answers to can be answered here. No question can go unanswered here, because God is infinite. He's beyond all measure. He is everywhere present. So today we not only celebrate, of course, the Feast of the Resurrection, and we have the icon to prove it, that today is that day. We see Jesus taking Adam and Eve by the hand and leading them out of Hades and sending them on their way to paradise. That is the hope for all of us. In that icon, in the imagery you see around it with all the saints and all people gathered, that idea of paradise is why we gather. That idea of overcoming death is why we gather. Because had Jesus not rose from the dead, then we wouldn't celebrate. But because He rose from the dead on the third day, that He ascended into heaven on the 40th, and sent down the Holy Spirit on the 50th, we celebrate that life. We live in that life. We are there present, in a sense. We're present, not just with Him, but He's present with us in everything. He's present here at this divine liturgy. It's He who we will come forward later on to receive His body and blood. But today we talk about the triumph of orthodoxy. The triumph of orthodoxy, that's a big statement, the triumph of orthodoxy. And you know, it only means this, and for the kids out there, this is for you. It only means that for a period of time, 100 and some years, they not only didn't want icons, they burned them. They burned them. And the heretics that burned them and did these terrible things, they have to answer for what they did and what they incited. But somehow in 843 AD, by the miracle of God himself, icons were restored to the church. And then we celebrate that this day. This is the return of icons, the Sunday of Orthodoxy. So what is it about the icons that make it so important for us? Well, I always remind people that if you have a grandparent that passed away, you might have their picture on the wall. And every once in a while, you may, you know, maybe their birthday or maybe a day that was special to them, an anniversary or something. You might actually just kind of go and say, Grandma, you know, I sure love you and I miss you a lot. And may even shed a tear. I pray that you're with God at this time. And if you are, please bless, send a blessing our way. You wouldn't think anything of that because our grandparents are close to us. Our parents are close to us. Our aunts and uncles, they were close to us. And so icons are that. Of course, we don't worship wood and paint and paper and varnish and all those things. We don't worship. We ask for intercession on behalf of these men and women and children, even children. You know, there's been many saints that died at a young age, 10 or 12 years old, or martyred. And we honor them and their life and what they gave up, and then it's an inspiration for us. I always tell people, if you want to really understand the theology of the Orthodox Church, you come and participate in the services, which are just every day a retelling of stories from the past, plus, you know, the Mother of God and Jesus Christ and the saint. You know, yesterday was the 40 martyrs of Sebaste, how they were, you know, thrown into a lake and drowned, and anyway, things of that nature. Theodore Tyro, who was the person who inaugurated the Koliva that we have for people who have died and hope for resurrection. These are all information that's hopeful, helpful to us, that there actually were people. There's even one of them that's called the Prospera Baker. And we have a couple Prospera Bakers here, and we're so grateful for what they do. And I'm sure they have the icon of the Prospera Baker in their kitchen asking for help every time they make Prospera, which we participate in terms of after the church. And then, of course, the lamb becomes the body and blood of Christ, or the body and the blood, and the wine becomes the blood. So it's important that we understand that these icons are like windows to heaven. Because these are men and women that are in paradise. And so because they're in paradise, we honor them. Now, just thinking about this gospel reading today made me think a lot about, well, not about icons in particular, but about miracles, small little miracles that can happen. You know, so here Jesus Christ, you know, he starts to call his apostles, Peter and Andrew, and Nathaniel and the rest. And so, how does Nathaniel respond when Philip calls him, says, "Come, see the Master," him, Christ, you know, Jesus of Nazareth? And he says, he kind of just off the top of his head said, "Well, what good can come out of Nazareth, you know?" Because we know that they know that the scriptures say that the Savior will be born in Bethlehem. Well, he didn't know that. He didn't know that Jesus had been born in Bethlehem. It wasn't like clear to him, you know. But as soon as Jesus appeared and said, "I saw you when you were sitting under the tree," at that very moment when he was sitting under the tree, he was contemplating the very topic of the Son of God being born in Bethlehem and the manger, you know, all that. And he just couldn't believe it. And he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God and the King of Israel. He still calls him the King of Israel. It's a moment. And then, of course, Jesus says, you'll see greater things than these, and says, angels and archangels and thrones, divinities and principalities ascending and descending upon the throne of God. You'll see all that as well. Now, that's a promise of something that they were probably unprepared for, to be promised to see angels and archangels and thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, and to see them ascending and descending upon the throne of God, just be able to see that. What man or woman in this world at that point in time could say, that's what I'm signing up for? They didn't even know it was true. They didn't even know if it was possible. And yet here God himself is promising that that's what they will do. They will do it. They will be able to see it. And of course, it's true, by the way. It's true, because we know that by the icons themselves, that these men and women that were apostles and followers of Jesus Christ, that they actually did see. They saw the transfiguration, they saw the resurrection, they saw the ascension, and they were there when the descent of the Holy Spirit took place on Pentecost, and they went forth with that vision in their heart, that vision in their mind, that idea that Christ rose from the dead and he brings life to all who will come after him. Well, in Lent, we have this, okay, we're acknowledging it. Sunday, Liturgy of St. Basil. We're going to celebrate the Divine Liturgy today. But Monday through Friday, we cannot celebrate the Divine Liturgy. So what does God give us? Pre-sanctified liturgy. And then, so on Wednesday night and Friday morning, we will have two services. And if you come just even to that, if you participate even in just that, I'm not saying just, I'm just saying if you do, that's really wonderful. But if you can come to the Vespers or the Matins or the things that are other times of the day, or just follow online, because we're online, you can follow online. And I have people that follow all the way from, we have people that follow all the way from Japan. All the way from Japan. It's incredible, actually, what you can do with technology. But just to say, they're following vigils. They're following from Romania. They're following from Serbia. I mean, other places in the world, too. And even, you know, just to say, wherever they were not able to participate in their own services, they can at least participate in ours with us. We have a woman who sends in her prayer list every single time we do a service. Every single time. It's in Romanian, and we translate it into English. So the services are available, brothers and sisters. Lent, you are able to participate in. It's important that you participate, that you fast. If you didn't do so well this week, well, start today. Just start today. If you did poorly last week, start today. Start with each meal. If you blow it, start again. If you blow it, start again. Don't stop. Don't stop doing. Don't stop giving. Don't stop putting forth effort to worship God in fullness and truth. Give yourself over to this Lenten cycle and let God open to you the doors as we approach, you know, Lazarus Saturday, Palm Sunday, Holy Week, Holy Saturday, Lamentations. When we do all of these things, don't let God catch you not present. You be present. Somehow be present. Worship God in fullness and truth. That's the Orthodox way. For those who are seeking to become Orthodox Christians, who are catechumens now, they should be taking note of everything I'm saying to you as I say it now. That you need to attend to these things that are needful for the salvation of your soul, and not just for this year, not just for this day or this month, but forever until you leave this world. So may God give us strength to do the things that are needful in His holy, and that we might find Him, and that we might find Him and stay with Him, and we might stay with Him. We might be with Him unto ages of ages. So may we give glory to God for all things. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.